How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports with us. 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Golden 5 a.m. The warm-up show with Al and Jerry talking Mets, talking some Yanks. Yanks with a tough loss in Oakland to the A's. What? I mean, the A's now have 21 wins on the season. You never want to lose. I mean, you got to sweep those series. But anyway, the Yanks will win 2 out of 3. No big deal. That's what they do. It's frustrating now for sure. But ultimately, you know, they'll win this series. And even though the Yankees don't look great, they go out there and still win. What's that like? A team that's bad, but even when they're bad, they're good. Joe is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
Hi, Sal. First of all, love the show. Very upset that you're going to leave. Hopefully we'll go back on Odyssey app and listen to you.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
But I know we had a home run today, but Josh Donaldson, when are we just – he's not even getting good at bats. He's lost at the plate. His 2 strikeouts, his last 2 at-bats, he just lost. Not swinging. How worse can he get that we're going to not lose our hope on him?
Yeah, no, he's terrible. But what about, he's insignificant to me. What about John Carl Stan? What about Rizzo?
But there's no plan B for them here. Why can't we bring up Peraza?
Well, I mean, Peraza's got to be up here. That's something I said last week, maybe even 2 weeks ago now. I forget, they all blend together. But I don't understand why Peraza wouldn't be up here right now, other than they're waiting to maybe move Volpe. I know they said they don't want to do it, but the only thing that would make sense to me is bring Peraza up, make him the shortstop, move Volpe to second, and move on from Glaber. Or you could just have Peraza at third, I guess, keep everything else the way that it is, and get rid of Donaldson. So I understand that might be the easy way. I just don't know if Peraza is going to be the third baseman every day moving forward. For whatever reason, Yanks are reluctant to do it. Brian Cashman, you've known, this is what he does here. He takes a very long time to admit a mistake, whether it's moving Glaber off of short, whether it's moving IKF off of short, whether it's moving on from Gary Sanchez, and now whether it's moving on from Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, and the smartest move would probably, I think, to trade Glaber because he has value now. I think we could trade him. Teams almost sure want him. Especially if American League doesn't have that many great second basemen, so I think teams will definitely look forward to him.
I mean, Peraza's got to be given an opportunity, Joe, and thank you for the call. Because the Yankees expected him coming into this season to be a starting shortstop for him. So if they thought he was going to be the starting shortstop, or at least he had the lead going into the spring, you know, you would think he's major league ready. Right? I mean, what does he got a season up more in the minor leagues? Are we looking to make him a utility guy? I'm not sure that excuse is adding up why Peraza is down still when you got everybody else struggling. You got guys that don't belong in the majors up here, but yet Peraza is down. Ralph is calling from Fairlawn. What's up, Ralph?
Hey, Sal.
Hi, Ralph.
This one. How you doing, man? I want to wish you good luck on your daytime gig.
Thank you, Ralph.
And I'm going to miss you on nights. You know, two things I want to say. If you could restock the farm by getting rid of the high price contracts, Verlander and Scherzer, would you do that? And
all right. Well, let's think about it for a second. You're talking about getting rid of both of them or one of them?
Well, one or two. I mean, if you could restock, even like. The guy playing left field, I forget his name now.
Tommy Pham?
Yeah, get rid of him. I mean, you know, get some.
All right,
some
so would I be back. Would I be a seller? Is what you're asking?
Yes.
I don't like the idea of selling, especially this year for the Mets. But I think they got to move on from Scherzer and Verlander. I don't think they're going to be able to. I don't think anybody's taking them on. I'm just tired of the team being built around that. So I would look at it more as an opportunity to kind of restructure. And if you did have a taker on Verlander and Scherzer, depending on how much you'd have to pay, you know, I'm not going to pay Verlander $40 million to go away. And he's due a contract, you know, he's due $43 million next year on top of whatever's left this year, you know, another $20 million. I'm not going to pay $40 million to have him go pitch somewhere else. So it's got to be, even if it means getting back a better prospect, I'm not doing that. Same thing for Scherzer. Scherzer's got an option next year that he's likely going to pick up. So I don't think the Mets could move either of those two guys. Would I? Yeah, in the right deal, I'd be open to moving both. Right.
Yep. And can you give me a final Dr. Evil curtain call for your leash?
How about no, you crazy Dutch? You know what? I don't want to curse and get in trouble here. You know, I dressed up once as Dr. Evil on SNY. I was filling in on a show that they used to have called Covino and Rich, and it was Halloween, and they dressed up in costumes, and I was like, yeah, sure, why not? And I was Dr. Evil, and I was petting Mr. Bigglesworth the whole time. Herbert knew! You could find that somewhere on YouTube. It was worth a watch. I mean, you know, because I kind of look like him, being bald and everything. And that's the issue, the only issue, at least now, that I foresee going into the midday show with BT, is that we're both, you know, we kind of look alike, because we're both bald. And everybody thinks all bald guys look alike anyway. I get mistaken for Carton and now BT, and people are going to have a hard time telling us apart. Maybe I should dress up like Dr. Evil, or at least just talk like him. But I appreciate you listening, and thank you for taking the time to call. Moses is calling from Woodridge. What's up, Moses?
What's up? Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, Moses. How are you?
I love your show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I really love your show. Yeah, you're talking great about the Mets. You're really sounding good. I'm totally agree from everything you're saying. But I was I really called a couple of while ago. I called about what you said about the Yankees,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, when they come into the clutch, when they're playing the big teams, like the Rangers, like who they're supposed to be scared of when it comes to the postseason. Like the Rays, they took them down. The Rangers, they took them down. The O's, we can beat them,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think they can beat the Jays. I'm saying the Jays are on a slump, I hear, but, like, you know, they're a little shaky. They're, I don't know, but I don't think we can beat them.
They took the Jays head-to-head down, too. I mean, they took the Jays' best shot. I think if any of those teams, the Yankees own the Jays more than any of the other ones.
Nah, the Jays have the most talent in the league, I think.
Yeah, well, at what point, Moses, are they going to put it together? I've been hearing about this Jays talent for years.
They got the talent. They got this year. They got everything. They just got to work on. They got. I think they need, right before the trade deadline, they got to pick up like a real strong power hitter that's going to get them some homers. Like Bo Bichette shouldn't be having the most homers on the team. They're going to have to pick up a power hitter and start getting these runners in scoring position. They're going to have to get them in, and once they have that click, I think they have, like, you know, they're just a bunch of hitting issues. They're always on base. They just can't close.
Yeah, they can't pitch. They can't pitch. The Yankees are in their head. I'm not worried about the Blue Jays at all. I mean,
they can't pitch.
Yeah.
What do you mean they can't pitch?
The Blue Jays?
What does that mean? Kevin Gausman leads us performance today?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not watching the Blue Jays today. I was watching the Mets and Yankees. You were watching the Blue Jays?
No, but I watched the highlights.
I don't know. Are you a Blue Jays fan? I'm confused.
No, I'm not a Yankees fan, but I watched the whole division's highlights.
Okay, well, did you watch the Yankees play the Blue Jays earlier this year?
Yeah, I watched that
one. How'd that go?
When Manoah was in there?
Yeah.
When Manoah's giving up.
Correct. Where's Manoah now?
Manoah's in the minors.
Right,
you know,
okay.
Sending them, keep him there. But I'm saying that but now that they got it together, a little bit together, you know, the pitching is a lot better than the Yankees pitching.
No, I totally disagree. Totally disagree. And I saw them go head-to-head. The Yankees own them. Aaron Judge owns the Blue Jays.
Aaron Judge is nowhere to be found.
Well, I mean, that's a different story. Aaron Judge is out, but, I mean, the Yankees are still better than the Blue Jays.
I don't know. The pitching's for sure not better than the Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman, Chris Bassett, you guys playing phenomenal this year. Berrios, is every other game he's pitching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Every other game he's playing great.
Yeah, you're looking at it not against the Yankees. I'm watching against the Yankees, and thanks for the call, Moses. You're obsessed with the Blue Jays. I think you got to let that go. There are two teams in front of the Yankees in the AL East, neither of whom are the Blue Jays. Why are you looking in the rearview mirror? I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Blue Jays. Blue Jays were supposed to win the division last year. How'd that go? Blue Jays, all that talent. They stink. Until they beat the Yankees head-to-head, I'm not going to take them seriously. Yeah, they have talent. And yeah, I thought they might be dangerous. Last year, early on, they didn't seem intimidated at all by the Yankees or going into Yankee Stadium. But that wore off quickly. Yankees are better. Blue Jays don't have enough pitching to shut down the Yankees. Yanks have owned them. Now, obviously, Judge is a big part of that. If Judge doesn't come back, maybe you have a little bit of a different story. But right now, even without Judge, the Yankees are still in front of the Blue Jays. Dennis is calling from Mount Arlington. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, what's up, Sal? I just want to say I'm going to miss you. I've been listening to you for the past couple of years. Do a great job. But at the same time, you know, I've been working nights for 30 years, Sal. I've been working nights since 1986.
God bless you.
Aside from 3 years in the 90s when I worked 7 to 3. And I'm going to look forward to hearing you during the day because I'm up during the day. I don't sleep a lot. You know?
Oh, nice. I appreciate that, Dennis. Thank you so much, man. Yeah. It means a lot hearing you guys say that, so I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. And you just bring such energy, and that's why people love you. And I'm calling in regard to the Yankees, my Yankees. Thank God I have my Yankees, you know, because I'm a Jets, I'm a Rangers, and I'm a Knicks fan.
Huh.
I don't know what I would do if I was a Mets fan. I would pull what hair I don't have out.
Yeah.
But
you'd be angry, like me. I mean, that's what you'd be. Think about it. I mean, if you're, at least you're right. At least you have the Yankees. I've had nothing. I mean, I had 94. That's it. 1994, yeah. 1986. That is it.
I cried when the Rangers won. My wife said she saw me cry twice in my lifetime. When my mom passed away when I was a kid, and when the Rangers won in 94. I was in front of the TV with tears coming down my eyes. I was so happy, you know?
We need another one of those.
Oh, yeah, I thought we had it, but then that didn't work out. And, again, we got rid of another coach. Hockey's a turnstile of coaches. It's the worst. But as far as my Yankees are concerned, you hit it on the head. They're good, but they're bad. And, you know, it's just I like Cashman, and we're not going to get a better GM than Cashman, but to have a lifetime guaranteed contract along with Boone. They're not going anywhere. These two guys are going to be here as long as Steinbrenner's there. These guys can write their own ticket. They're going to be there 10 years. You know, nobody's going to get rid of them. Boone is probably going to break all the Yankee records for as far as wins are for a team.
Yeah, at some point, Dennis, and I'm not saying that point is going to be anytime soon, but you have to figure at some point something's going to change. No, the time to do it to me was a couple years ago, 2021.
Yeah.
After that after that season, I would have made the move. And they didn't. And they had some success last year. So that's not going to, you know, obviously not going to change after the success last year. But it can't. I mean, how much longer are we going to do the same thing with this team?
He finds the diamonds in the rough. He finds the McKinneys. And going all the way back to Chad Curtis's, he finds these guys that come up, and he finds the lightning, you know, that strikes. But he trades for injured players. That's why we have the bad. He traded for Rodon. The guy hasn't pitched yet, you know. Who else did he even Bader. They traded for the guy he had playing last year.
Frankie Montas. I mean, you know, they traded for him. He was hurt with the A's. And he's made some bad moves. Look, every general manager makes some good moves, some bad moves. To me, the bigger issue is the construction of the team since 2017. Trading for John Carlstand in 2018, which prevented them from other things. You mentioned it with the pitching. He hasn't been able to hit on that outside of Gerrit Cole. So there are, you know, misevaluating the shortstop position, whether it's Gleyber Torres, IKF. You know, trading for Josh Donaldson. Yeah, he's made some bad ones. He's made some bad. Holding on to Gary Sanchez too long. Clint Frazier, right. Miguel Andujar, you know, butchering, handling them, not getting anything of value back or having them succeed.
And you hit it on the head. They will bring up Peraza, which they need, you know, to spell Volpe just a little. And I love the fact that they're playing Volpe. I'm a Volpe supporter. I mean, I'm an Italian. I like Volpe. He's a good kid. But I think if we need patience sometimes, and even though, you know, this year is kind of rough, I like Volpe there. But, like, they won't cut Donaldson because he wouldn't make, you know, and that turned us. This guy, he's done.
Yeah, I like Volpe too, Dennis, and I'm with you. And thank you for the call, and thank you for the kind words. I really do appreciate it. With Volpe, he's the type of guy that can get – he could help win the Yanks a World Series, or at least win the Yankees a pennant. I really believe that. Volpe is a guy who I want to see perform in October. You know, Donaldson's a guy who I want to see perform – anywhere other than New York. I hated it at the time we talked about it, how the Twins pulled one over on the Yankees. What was Cashman doing trading for a $26 million player that was under contract, that was washed up? And yeah, dumping Gary Sanchez wasn't bad. Adding IKF, whatever. But Donaldson... come on. He messed up twice in that trade, thinking IKF was going to be the starting shortstop for the Yankees and thinking that Josh Donaldson was going to be somewhat productive. 0 for 2. Can't miss on those. That's the difference. You know, it's a small line there that you have to, you know, you can't, the difference between winning a World Series and just making the postseason and being sent home early every year. Very thin margin of error. And Brian Cashman, when he could have made better moves or different moves, didn't. And you could use the Astros cheating as an easy excuse for why the Yankees haven't been back to a World Series since 2009. But there are other reasons as well. Pick just one of any of the moves that he's made that have been wrong and turn them into a right move, maybe it'd make a bigger difference. 877-337-6666. Even saying that, like, it's now 2023. The fact that the Yankees haven't been to a World Series since 2009, that is hard to believe. I'm telling you, I admit it, I'm brainwashed. Growing up, you know, being in high school with the Yankees in their dynasty years, I'm brainwashed by this team. And then even seeing it all through the, you know, from the mid-90s on, right on through 2009. And then again, 2017, in the year where it was supposed to be a rebuild, the Yankees getting the Game 7 of the ALCS. I'm brainwashed. And it's not even just me. This team doesn't look very good right now, but yet they still win series. How can you not be brainwashed?
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan. Superbook Sports is changing the game. Help your bet stay hot this summer at Superbook Sports. It's the most trusted name in sports gambling. You got a direct line to Las Vegas. And now, when you use the promo code JerseyFan, you score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code JerseyFan. Download the Superbook Sports app in New Jersey, enter the promo code JerseyFan, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Mets get a nice win. Just a refreshing, you know, it's so frustrating watching this team day in, day out. If you could still take it at this point, if that's what you're doing. I mean, there's no reason to, I got to be honest. I mean, if you're, you can't believe in them. If you're still believing in this team, good for you. I am not. Now, they got to earn me back. They have to earn me back. And I mean, you know, go on a nice little winning streak, 6 of 7, 8 of 10, whatever it may be. They have to earn that now. But it is very frustrating watching this team because they just torment you. And even when you think they might be taking 2 out of 3 against the Phillies, let's say, they find new ways to destroy you and crush you. And, you know, it was a nice, refreshing game for a change with the Mets where everything seemed to go right. David Peterson got it off to a good start. He was terrific. And then the home run barrage with Brandon Nimmo, Francisco Lindor, Daniel Vogelback. So it was a nice night for the Mets to get a win. You know, and as for the Yankees, like we've been talking about, it is a very frustrating team to watch. Even though they win the majority of the time, it still is a frustrating team to watch. And you're talking about losing to the worst team in baseball with the A's. That just should not happen. Yankees can't get anything going with runners in scoring position. John is calling from Somerset. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, John?
Sal, I have to say that this is the first time I'm calling with you, and I just love your passion. I really do.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I just think that the Yankees lost a chance to get rid of Cashman. I don't know if I want to get rid of Boone, but they lost their chance to get rid of Cashman, and he's just making wrong decisions. These trades are horrendous.
Well, when would you have gotten rid of him?
When?
You say, you know, you're not going to get rid of him now. I mean, and the Yankees aren't going to get rid of him ever. But would it have been after this year? You going back a few years ago? Like I said, I would have got rid of both Cashman and Boone after the 2021 season or during the 2021 season.
I 1,000% agree with you.
Yeah, because that year, John, that year the regular season was bad.
But it's like they do just enough for Steinbrenner to say, okay, I'm going to continue with this. And
well, they're in the playoffs every year for starters. I mean, even in that year that I was talking about, 2021, they snuck in and made the wild card. Now they lost in a wild card game, but they still made it.
So the trades he's making, IKF is probably the best one, and he's playing center field or left field.
Yeah, well, IKF's a bench player at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But Donaldson, Rendon hasn't pitched. God help us, he's coming back this week, and we'll see. But we have no run support. No run support.
Well, I mean, look, without Aaron Judge, and thank you for the call, John, and for the kind words, without Aaron Judge, runs have been tough to come by for the Yankees. But it shouldn't be an excuse. When you're as loaded as the Yankees are, one guy, even as great as Aaron Judge is, it should not be all the difference in the world. You know, John Carlos Stanton came up with a chance to change that game last night, and he didn't get the job done again. At some point, I mean, John Carlos Stanton's got to, you know, think about what the Yankees were trading for. What, he had 59 homers the year before they got him? You know, you're talking about an MVP. And he hasn't been anything close to that with the Yankees. He's terribly disappointing. That trade, look, when things go the way that they've gone for the Yankees here since 2017, which has been ultimately disappointing. We know they made a run in 2019, getting to game 6 of the ALCS before losing to the Astros. Last year, ALCS, they get swept by the Astros. You know, they've been in the postseason other times, 2020 against the Rays, 2018, losing to the Red Sox. So it's not like they're not getting in the postseason, but we're talking about going on a deep run in the postseason. And the Yankees have not been able to do that. And you look at, you know, how the team was built after that 2017 season. It, to me, was just not built properly, and John Carlos Stanton was a big part of that. They didn't need him. And if they are going to have him, this is the time he should be having some success. This is the time where you need to see John Carlos Stanton stepping up in the absence of Aaron Judge. Found it interesting you don't want to get rid of Boone. And by the way, I don't want to get rid of Boone either. I would have done it 2 years ago. I wouldn't do it now. I like Boone. I'm ready to see this thing through with him. Do I think there could be better managers? Sure, but until it's a total change in philosophy with the Yankee organization, meaning Hal needs to say, okay, it's time, it's run its course. Cashman has been great. We understand and respect how great he's been over the years. He's been a significant part of this organization's success. It's time for a new voice. That's what I would have said after 2021. They didn't. That's what I would say whenever they do decide to move on from him. Just time for a change. Same thing that they told Joe Girardi after exceeding all expectations by a lot. Hey, we love you. We appreciate the work. It's time for a different voice. Okay. Well, that's what I would tell Brian Cashman. And Boone would obviously go along with him. And then you could bring in a different combination. But it's not happening anytime soon. And that's not the reason that the Yankees are where they are right now. These guys got to get the job done. Was there any Yankee fan that didn't want Rizzo back? Rizzo's been terrible. Most Yankee fans like Giancarlo Stanton. He's been terrible. All right, you didn't want Josh Donaldson. I get it. He's part of the problem. Peraza's got to be up here. You know, that could help. Cashman is going to be. They just refuse. You know, sometimes they refuse to give in. I don't know what the reason is, but it seems so obvious to us, yet the organizations are reluctant to make a move that might actually help the team. Vito's calling from Newark, New Jersey. We can't say that. And thank you for the call, Vito. We appreciate you checking in. Now, you could say that to your sister, but you can't say that to me. I mean, you can say it to me, just not on the radio. You know, the Yankees have not lost to the bad teams, as you put it. The fact that they lost a game to the A's seems like way too many, right? You don't want to ever lose a game to the A's. Even the Mets swept the A's. But it's not like the Yankees have been losing to bad teams. They took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. They took 2 out of 3 from the Rangers recently. And they got swept by the Red Sox. Red Sox aren't a bad team. Split with the Mets. No, the Yankees have had minimal issues in that regard. They're over 500. This is just one frustrating loss. That's it. It happens. They'll be fine. Now, how fine? I'm saying playoff fine. They're going to make the playoffs. Don't even worry about that. Really, neither New York team should ever have to worry about the playoffs with the way that their payrolls are with the expanded postseason. But, of course, leave it to the Mets, who in year two, after beginning, is starting anew, winning 101 games, thinking that this is the beginning of a Steve Cohen run here, and they don't even wait to disappoint you. Right out of the gate, they hit you with it. But the Yankees are always going to be in the playoffs. I mean, maybe outside of the aberrational year. And that was what was different about 2021, is where it was the regular season that gave the Yankees trouble, as opposed to the traditional postseason problem.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Two more overnight shows after this one here. So make sure you get at me And then after that, I'm going to be a little bit all over the place for the next couple of weeks before starting the new show with BT on July, what is it, 24th, 27th? July 24th. Anyway, the Mets, there was a report last night. I don't know if it was a report or just a thought from Anthony DiComo of MLB.com, who covers the Mets. He was talking about Max Scherzer being open to potentially. He said Max Scherzer was potentially going to be open to waiving his no-trade clause. Let me give you the exact tweet, though, because after that, DiComo, he didn't backtrack from it. But he did say that he was just clarifying what he said. Yeah, he said his words were getting all over the were getting twisted all over the place. He didn't report that Scherzer is definitely open to waiving his no trade clause. Just that if things go sideways, people think it's possible that Scherzer would be open to potentially being traded. Remember, he's got a total no trade clause. But Scherzer's priority is to win with the Mets. That's his absolute priority. This is according to Anthony DiComo of MLB.com. Fascinating to think that we're even talking about this. You could draw up worst-case scenarios for the Mets going into this year, and I would never think that this was as bad as it would be. Never. Now, I could have seen a scenario where the Mets would have been getting blown out of the division, where the Mets would have had things go wrong for them, whether it's with Scherzer, Verlander, whoever else, the bullpen, sure. To the point where the Mets are, you know, what are they, 9.5 back, or 8.5 back in the wild card? To the point where they're 8.5 back in the wild card and basically have every team in front of them but the three that are behind them? I mean, come on. Or the fact that they're, you know, 16 games back of the Braves? You can paint worst-case scenarios. This is beyond Met fans' worst nightmare. Chris is calling from Beacon. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, Scherzer. Hi, Sal. Look, call you last week. I gave you a five-minute, I don't want to say the word, but basically, I love you, Sal. You didn't cut me off. You enjoyed it. You were sitting back enjoying it with your hands behind your head, enjoying the loving. And you know what? I embarrassed myself. Okay, you should have cut me off a long time ago. Say, all right, Chris, move on. Okay, like Bob from Bayside, Cole Raftos. Yeah, ask me. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna be like that guy either. enjoy the move to the midday, Sal. Let's talk to the Yankees.
Hey, it's okay. You're allowed to love me and miss me. I mean, it's human nature. I'm gonna miss you too.
Wow, those days are over.
No, okay? Those days are not
on.
Over.
No. All right.
Hey, look, I was asked, I did an interview for some media thing, Barrett Sports Media. Peter Schwartz actually interviewed me. Yeah. He said, what's the thing you miss most about the overnights? And I said, what? The callers, of course, all you guys.
No, you're not going to miss me. I'm not going to miss you, Sal.
That's you included, Chris.
No, we're moving on, Sal. We're moving on together. Look, Sal, like Bob Bates last week said, so let me start it over, Sal. Hey, Sal, congratulations on your middays. All right, let's talk some Mets. Okay, so, look, hey, Sal, look. What am I going to say now? All right, yeah, we're going to move on. It's all good. Enjoy it. Good luck. All right, let's go. Now, let's talk some Mets. Now, look, and I'm on 3 hours sleep right now. I am pissed off right now. I'm sick of this whole team. I don't want to hear this owner talk about anything tomorrow. I don't care, all right? This is where I said in the beginning of the year, Sal, I don't know if you remember, I said that I don't feel good about this season, the old stupid Correa thing, and then Diaz going down. I said this season does not look good. It is completely worse than I expected. It's typical Mets stuff, man. You go to 101-win teams, and then you go like this. And everybody, I agree with you, Sal, I cannot hear people talking about get rid of Buck. For who? For some random, Beltran or some random person? Mm. Who's going to be better than Buck right now? Look, I understand it's 2 years. Billy Epler deserves more than that. But what he did last year, Sal, is a disgrace. And I said it after the trade deadline. It is, you cannot think we're on a good path or we're going to win right now, and you stayed the course. And you went from a trade deadline, and you didn't want to give up much because you want to hang on to the kids. Screw the kids, okay? Get the professionals in the damn game, and let's win something. You learn from Cashman. You know what Cashman always does sometimes? He always makes some moves in the trade deadline. We did do nothing. But this loser Vogelback, Ruff, this guy Givens, because he thought we're going to go all in and we're going to win. And you know what, Sal? And we have known it. It's the hardest thing to do to win a World Series. We have not seen it since we were 4, 5, 6 years old. That's how long it's been, and we're in our 40s right now. And you had the opportunity. You're not as good as the Braves. You thought you were, and you're a general manager making all this money. You had to make the moves. And you know what? You did not do it. You failed. And I feel like an anger management style. You know, in the movie, he's like, oh, the anger sharks are swimming in my head. You got to dunk that. You got to dunk that. He did not dunk it. He failed. And this is why we're backtracking like this.
Goose blah blah.
But that's it. That's how I feel right now. This team is going backwards right now. This owner needs to step up. You got to get a new general manager that realizes, okay, we got lucky. We got 101 wins. It was a lot. But you were not ready to win the World Series. Now,
is this rage coming from me leaving the overnight?
No, I don't care if you go. Yeah. I told you I'm over right now. I'm done. I got to listen to Stuart talk about Aaron Boone and freaking Cashman last week.
Let's get to the core. I think you're upset, Chris. You're upset that I'm leaving you. You feel deserted.
I'm tired right now. I'm on 3 hours sleep. I'm a little upset, but you know what? I'm moving on, Sal, okay? Yeah. I love you, Sal. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you checking in. It's okay to show your feelings. Marco, too, he feels the same way. I understand it. You guys feel hurt. You feel deserted. And you're going to take it out on me. First it was Marco. Now it's Chris. It's okay to show your true feelings. I'm going to miss you, too. Not that much, but I'm going to miss you, too. Very weird feeling. Like, I'm not leaving, you know?
Yeah, go to hell. You're leaving.
You would think, Marco, that more people would be able to listen at those hours, no? Like, even if you worked on the overnight, so you're normally sleeping at those hours?
You're right in my window. That's, if all goes well, hopefully I can sleep from 10 to 2. Really,
actually, what am I talking about? That's when I would sleep roughly till 12 maybe. Right? So, I mean, you wake up at noon and maybe catch the back half. But that's the great thing about the Odyssey app. And I always tell people this when they would complain. So, or not complain, but some people say, Sal, you got to be on earlier. Sal, you got to be on earlier. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? You don't think I want to be on earlier? I can't control that. But what you could do is listen on the free Odyssey app anytime you'd like. And now you could listen on the free Odyssey app anytime you'd like. The other way. Come on, don't be mad at me. Is it because I haven't gotten a baby gift yet? That's on the way. Don't worry. I got that on the
list. Oh, stop. No, come on.
No, what do you mean?
No.
Oh, I've been, no, come
no,
on.
No,
you know,
no,
I've been
no. Come on. No, that's nonsense. No.
Oh, it's on my list. No, I have that's it right a, here.
No.
Marco, baby gift. I have to do that.
That we're not worried about. No. I am a little annoyed that you're leaving, though. I'm not going to deny that.
We're just starting the bond.
I'm not going to deny that.
We were just getting into a nice rhythm where we would chew clock together in the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, I thought it was working. And then...
It was working. How do you feel about your Yankees? Right, we had some fun talking Knicks this season. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit into the baseball. Mm-hmm. What about your Yankees? I don't know how to read them. I don't know how much you heard before. I know you're out there doing some work and everything, but I don't know how to read this team. I'm scarred. Even though I look at them on paper and say, they're not that good. I look at them in reality and say, they're not that good. Yet, all they do is win series. I don't know how to evaluate it. They're still 7 games over 500. How do they keep winning 2 out of 3 if they're not that good?
What part of the evaluation are you confused on?
Well, I just told you. They look like they stink, but they win 2 out of 3.
So their bullpen is very good.
Right.
Their starting pitching is fine. They can't hit a lick.
Okay, but they still win 2 out of every 3. Or more.
Well, let's not get
most teams.
Let's not get out of control. No. You're forgetting when Judge was in the lineup what their record was versus when he's not in the lineup. The longer this goes, the more you will see. And every night, how many times are you going to win 1-0 and 2-1 and 3-2?
Whatever, enough. I mean, good enough to beat the Rangers, the big, bad Texas Rangers. Think about if you're the Rangers.
It's smoke and mirrors. Right. This team is not good.
Think about it from a Rangers perspective. They're dominating baseball, one of the best teams in baseball, kind of out of nowhere. They come into Yankee Stadium to take on a Yankee team that's got Jake Bowers, that's got Billy McKinney, no Aaron Judge to be found, and they lose 2 out of 3.
And it took a miracle, which is them scoring 5 runs and Bader getting a go-ahead double in the 8th inning. Their margin of error is razor thin. They have to do everything right to scrape out a 3-2 win. They're not very good. Will they make the playoffs? half the league feels like makes the playoffs now, so it's possible that they could squeak into one of the wild cards, which just delays the inevitable to the painful loss that sends you off into the offseason. And here's the thing, and this is something that I've been thinking about, and I've been saying it for a while, and it brings it back, and I'm not taking a shot at you, even though I am angry. I'm not. We keep talking about why the Yankees don't make changes and why they continue to go down this road, and because Brian Cashman keeps coming back and they keep doing the same philosophy because they find a way to win 90-something games and get into the playoffs and get bounced. Do you know why?
Why?
Because Hal Steinbrenner is deathly afraid of being the Mets. 101 wins the next year, possibly right back into the gutter, and then a change, and then a change, and then a change. He's afraid of that. He looks at it and says,
"Why don't you change it now?"
He doesn't know who to hire other than Brian Cashman, which was the last hire that his father made. So that's part of what he's holding on to.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
And he's gripping onto it. And he knows if I make a mistake, whoever comes in, you're sure they could take us to the promised land. They could also take us into a relevancy where the entire organization is in flux.
Inconsistency, potentially.
And he doesn't want it.
Well, that makes sense.
Because you know what?
You know, I'll
take 90 wins and a playoff spot and make money than be a laughing stock for even one season.
Well, or not even make money, but also have a chance to do damage in the postseason.
Well, see, that I don't buy. You can't, no. You can't sell me that they could do damage when you know damn well when this team has got holes up the yin-yang and you realize it and you're just afraid to go above and beyond.
You already said it. I mean, they have the best bullpen in baseball.
Yes.
They have an ace with Gerrit Cole.
Mm-hmm.
They have Carlos Rodon, assuming he returns here.
I'm not going to do that one. I'm not going to give you that one, but go ahead.
But they have an ace. Then you need to figure out two guys maybe behind him. Their pitching is going to be set up better than it's been potentially since the 90s or 2009 going into a playoffs. That's huge. If they get Judge back, now it's a big if, and if he's out, then I guess the rest doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I can't buy all that stuff because, again, they go into the playoffs. Pitching has never been the problem in the last 5 or 6 years. This iteration of this Yankee team, I mean, last year, the game that they could have won against the Astros, the game that they could have won in that four-game sweep, the game, was game one when Jameson Taillon pitched, followed by Frankie Montas. Remember him?
Yeah. They
that was the game that the Yankees could have won. Has nothing to do with the starting pitching, has nothing to do with the bullpen. If you cannot score, you cannot win.
Right, but you also do want to match zeros as long as you can and have your chance. Look, I'm just saying that their pitching is lined up right now, set up better than it's been in years going into the playoffs. So you'd have to feel good about that. And look at the rest of the American League. Who are you afraid of exactly? I'm not afraid of Tampa. I'm not afraid of Baltimore.
Should be.
You would be? Or you
again,
are?
Again, I don't. If you put the Yankees in a series against the Rays, yes, they're going to lose. Guaranteed.
Yeah. I don't know about
guaranteed.
That.
They don't hit at all.
Yeah.
This is not like, oh, well, some nights it's up and down. Well, they maul some teams, and then they don't hit at all. They have to hope that they get three homers in the game. Maybe one of them comes with somebody on base because they got hit by a pitcher. They walked. They don't hit at all. They're bottom of the of all of baseball in on-base percentage, batting average. They don't get on base. They cannot put the bat on the ball. That Aaron Boone line of last year, we don't want to just touch the ball. We want to impact the ball. Mm. You know what? Let's start with touching it because no one can actually touch the baseball. Start there.
Good point. To impact the ball, you actually have to touch the ball. Vogel back for Stanton, who says no.
I think both teams, and they'd both be wrong. You know what? You want the contract? You can have him.
Take the money on, right.
If you're the Mets and you want that contract, you see if you can rekindle it, go ahead.
You got to throw in probably Ian Hamilton or somebody like that. You give me a good bullpen arm to take on the contract.
Done.
Yeah. I honestly think the Yankees, Andy Martino wrote about that, and I don't think it's going to happen, but I honestly think the Yankees would be smart to look at moving Stan's contract.
There's no way. Who the hell's going to take that on? Who's going to take
that on? Well, that's what I mean. The Mets could.
No. I'm not buying that.
They could.
I don't buy that.
If you, the thought in the article was that the Mets are looking to restock their system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you throw in, and Ian Hamilton is the guy he used, you know, a young, fresh arm out of the bullpen, an exciting arm, you throw him in, Mets take on Stanton and the contract, and they get to get back, you know, Hamilton.
You're telling me the Mets are to the point where one bullpen arm from a guy who's bounced around the majors to take on that albatross monstrosity of a contract with Giancarlo Stanton to hope that you rekindle something, but more than anything else, just to take on empty money to get a bullpen arm?
Yeah,
that's where you are in your organization. You know what? You do need to blow this thing up.
Well, because they're saying that they're not giving up prospects. So the other way to do that, if you're not going to give up prospects, you have to use money.
If you were
Patrick Corbin and his bad contract was referenced.
I can see that one.
Taking him on.
I can see that one a little bit better
stinks.
He's awful. I understand that, but at least he can eat innings.
Right.
The Mets need somebody to eat innings and be, I mean, competent is a bit strong for him. Slightly competent in a Patrick Corbin.
And get in, you know, get two bullpen arms along
with
it.
How many years does Stan still have in his deal? Isn't it like six?
No, is it that many?
He signed a 13-year deal in Miami.
I thought it was three more. Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was 13 in Miami. I mean, really, I can't.
Could it be? I don't know.
I feel like he's got, yeah, maybe about five more. Do we have that,
it
Alex?
It is five, Alex.
Five left. You really want Stan for five more years?
What are we looking at, Alex? 2028. Yeah, okay.
Five more years.
No, I don't want him, period. But the money is not an issue to Steve Cohen. It's basically, it's like nothing. Yeah, sure, I'll take it on and pay it. And he lights the money on fire.
Yeah, see, I don't know if I'd buy that because money, as much as you say, well, it doesn't matter, it still stops you from making other moves. You're not going to have a $500 million payroll.
He might.
You're not.
He might. He was going to go pay Carlos Correa, you know, 300 and whatever million.
I understand that. It would have brought it to what, 350? 360? You're not going to go to 520.
Now, again, I don't think either team would do that, but those are the type of trades that the Mets are going to be looking to make here, taking on bad contracts.
And that's smart, and I understand that, but that's got to also be on a smaller, like a Josh Donaldson contract, where you're talking about $20 million for the rest of the year.
That came up, actually.
That actually makes sense.
And just cutting him to go away.
And then move along, and you say $20 million. Who the hell cares?
Think about the Yankees.
But 100 and something million?
Think about the idea that the Mets would be looking to get the Yankees out from under a bad contract.
And see, that's the problem when you look back at, you know, how Steinbrenner and how he's run this thing. And that's the part that's a frustrating aspect for the Yankee fan. It used to be where the Yankees were the ones that were going to light the money on fire, move it along. Keigawa, you know what? You're awful. Take that $50 million and go home.
Or take on a bad contract to get other players.
Fine. As long it doesn't matter, and he was able to make up for the mistakes that you made.
Right.
Whatever mistake
Sterling,
it was.
Hitchcock.
Whatever it was.
Carl Pavano. Yeah, there were endless.
Contreras at the time.
Yeah, right.
Jose Contreras when his contract was out of the, you know, it doesn't matter. You sign a big deal. Carl Pavano, like you said, guys, it doesn't matter. Now it's all of a sudden it's an issue. And then it stops you from getting other guys. And that's where the frustration comes in because Brian Cashman, for his faults in finding some of the big-time free agents, does a hell of a job with finding all the guys that are in the rough. Wandy Peralta's.
Mm.
I mean, you got him off the scrap heap from
Clay
Holmes. For Tauchman. Yeah, Clay Holmes from the Pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, he does a great job of finding those guys that could become big pieces. And then that's how you build an organization. The problem is, the little bit of money that he gets, he makes the wrong decision because then he spends it on Stanton. Or he spends it on, I don't know, Carlos Rodon.
Right, taking over Donaldson.
Donaldson, $25 million.
Yeah,
because he said, you know
that.
What? He's not Gio Urshela. No offense. You're not Josh Donaldson. Well, you know what? For $2 million for Gio Urshela, I didn't have $50 million in the hole
than like
Josh Donaldson.
I like Gio Urshela.
Because all you had to do was DFA Gary Sanchez because you took that contract on just to get out from under of him. So again, it stops you from doing some of the other things, and that's where the Yankee problem is. That's the going above and the beyond. Yeah, sure, you could find a good bullpen arm, but can you find a guy that can actually bat fifth in the lineup?
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to do that.
And the mistakes that he's made have been costly ones where even if one of them over the years would have been the opposite or the right move, could have made a difference in getting to the World Series.
And let's be fair. Look, at the time when the Marlins deal with Stanton, nobody wanted Stanton as a Yankee fan until you heard all we got to do is pay the money and get rid of Starlin Castro. Like, big deal.
And he didn't
sure,
wanna,
great.
It was limited. He wasn't going to go anywhere. He had like three teams. That
right, but it was
to.
The idea that like the Marlins are going to pay some of this contract, but basically all it is money. And every Yankee fan in their mind was, well, who cares? It's just money.
Because you didn't know that it was going to impact you.
And that stopped the Yankees from making what should have been the deal to get Bryce Harper or to get some of the other free
Machado.
Agents. Yeah.
It was at that point
that were there
yeah.
instead of a guy that was unnecessary.
The first time I remember feeling like it was different or thinking it was different with the Yankees when they didn't get Machado. He made it known he wanted to be here.
So did Harper.
They didn't. Well, right. But I don't know why. If I felt like
you know why?
Memory serves, they shut him down earlier.
They
than
did because they said we have four outfielders. Clint Frazier being one of them. Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks. And Giancarlo Stanton.
Right.
And Harper's not going to play first base.
But they needed.
But even though he would have.
I forget the third base situation at the time, but they needed the third baseman. Like, it was just made sense. I was certain.
And Duhar.
Yeah, I was certain that Machado was going to the Yankees. He wanted to be there. He's the best player. Yankees are going all in on him. They said they didn't want Bryce Harper. And then they didn't get him. And I'm like, what is going on here? Since when do the Yankees, who have an area of need, don't get the best player? And since then, it's basically been their MO. They don't do it anymore. There's a billion shortstops available just for a big contract, and they go trade for IKF.
Again, the Corey Seager wouldn't look good in pinstripes.
Because come on.
And again, they're trying to give you the idea that is, well, it was because of Anthony Volpe. No, it wasn't. You could have put him at second base.
Right.
Because now you're talking about putting him at second base. So no, it wasn't that. It was money. It's straight, flat money. Something that the Yankees have never had an issue with. Wow. Now, all of a sudden, it's a major problem. And now Brian Cashman has to put together a roster with Jake Bowers and Billy McKinney. And they're going to give you all this nonsense about when we're healthy. When we're healthy. What the hell are you talking about? You get older veterans that break down, and then you fill the roster with guys that are... And it's nothing against Billy McKinney or Jake Bowers or Willie Calhoun. They've actually been pretty good. But IKF and Jake Bowers and Billy McKinney should not be your starting outfield on any day ever.
And if you need help with money, Steve Cohen's there to help. We'll take some of those bad contracts. You got to part with some players, though.
Again, who would you like? You wanted Amy Hamilton for Stan? You can have him.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.